할렐루야. 자, 이 말라기서는 그죠? 구성이 여섯 가지 논쟁을
Firstly, Malachi is written in the format of having six different discussions, debates. God asks the question and he answers it himself. That's one of the ways that the rabbi teaches. And I will also preach this message according to those different discussions. So who is the author of the book of Malachi? And of course, it's going to be Malachi, right? But even if you look into all those Jewish manuscripts and documents, you will not find a lot of things about the book of Malachi. And you are all pastors. You need to receive the truth as the truth. And you yourself has to become a holy channel that does not disrupt the truth that is being spoken through you. And these are the things that I will talk about in chapter 2. In order for you to eat the truth as the truth, it is impossible to do so with your theological backgrounds. Because what theology teaches is already corrupted in itself. And when I say things like this, a lot of people surface. Because you hold dear your theological backgrounds. But theology itself is corrupted. It is compromised. And it is a field of study. You're creating a movement of the mind. You're not creating a spiritual movement. It is written in John 6:16. It says, the word of God is spirit and truth. So the word of God should move the spirit and it should give you eternal life. But theology only affects, activates your mind instead of your spirit. So through theology, through seminaries, you cannot accept the truth as the truth. And I can see Pastor Dr. Kim is surfacing already. But this is the truth. It's the harsh truth. But what did God do for us? In every generation, in the time of Paul, he called Paul and he gave the gospel to Paul. So in every generation, the Lord raises up people where he will entrust his truth with.
You might not like what I say. But it is true. God called me 36 years ago. And even back then, I have never attended a church before. But God called me, He met me. And after about a year, or throughout about 1 year, He trained me through His truth system. And all the truth system that I'm proclaiming right now are under that training. I came from that training. Of course, God has added up a lot of things, but the main structure was given, you know, during that 1 year of training. And for next 13 years, God didn't allow me to do anything. But instead, He made me to go through the process of substantializing of that truth system in my life. So I feel like there are some apostles around the world who are, you know, being used by God in that way. And even though I have not met them in person, but I do believe that there are apostles that God uses like that. So when we talk about the truth, one thing should be clear. Whether are you the servant that God gave His truth by Himself, then you should be able to live by that truth. And you should be able to awake the churches according to that truth system. If not, then you should be able to meet people like me. And you should be able to receive the truth through me, people like me. So, you know, either way, you should be sure. You should be confirmed. Did God give the truth to me? Did God appoint me as a servant that is supposed to be raising the truth system? Then many people will follow you. Of course, there are many fakes who will... There are many fakes who are outside, out there. But, you know, they will corrupt eventually. But, you know, I'm not going to talk about that. Or anyways, you have to receive truth system from people like me. So to all the women's churches around the world, I tell them to preach exactly as I preach. Do not feel guilty, because this is the truth that God gave to me for this generation. So this is not my own. Just promise me one thing, that you will not make money out of this truth system. So all the truth system or for all the books that we publish in Zoe Ministry, we don't write any author. So, you know, we only have two books in Zoe Ministry that has author. The first one was the essay compilation of Mrs. Cho. And our publisher made so many errors and mistakes and typos. So, you know, the second book, you know, has not been published yet, but we will have the second book named Human Jesus. And the author will be Pastor Lee Soo-young, who has failed in his PhD, and then other four doctors, you know, they are the co-authors. So first of all, we will tackle Vatican with this truth. For example, we will, you know, criticize people like Augustine. Because of Augustine, he brought in the concept of original sin. He mistranslated Romans 5:12. And for 2,000 years of Christian history, all the scholars knew that he had misinterpreted this, but nobody said about this. So, you know, we will say that, like, Augustine is such a stupid person. He only knew Latin instead of Greek, so he misinterpreted Romans 5:12. So, you know, Pastor Lee Soo-young is, you know, digging out all the corruption of Augustine. So we will have the first ever author written book in Zoe Ministry. So it's going to be interesting, right? So first, you know, the Jesuits will move from Catholics. These are crazy men. We call these doctors as Truth Defense Team, and another name for them is the Martyr Team, because they are prepared to die for the truth. Doctors, why are you not saying amen?
Amen!
Pastor David's the only one who says amen. Okay, let's move on. So, I guess some of you are interested in Zoe Ministry. That's why I'm telling this to you. So as we pray, you know, I was talking about the spiritual gift that you might think that, you know, we are all about spiritual gift. No, that is not true. What we have done over 23 years is about the battle of truth. And as this truth system moves within the church, church became the kingdom of God. And, you know, some of you already know this, and you know how powerfully God works through His truth. And a lot of churches in Zoe Ministry around the world are being transformed gloriously. Only in Latin America alone, we have more than 2,000 pastors. You know, not everyone said that, you know, they will join Zoe Ministry, but they are raised. They are being raised by, you know, other Zoe Ministry pastors as well. Korea is the only place that is silent. But now, you know, Korean churches are rising up, right? So, you know, these Korean churches are my good old friends. And these corrupted husbands give, you know, betray their faithful wives, right? But I am not corrupted, so I will never betray my good old friends and my wife, right? So now we need to talk about the author. And I was talking about truth being the truth. So I'm not talking about the theology. Even though I graduated from the seminary, I have never studied theology, so I don't know anything about it. And even though I know nothing about theology, I talk within the perspective of theology. That's why I can direct my doctors when they write papers. So in order to understand the Bible, you need to know who wrote that Bible. Because according to who the author is, the interpretation might be very different. And the background of the historical background is very important, because the first recipient of that Bible is the people who used to live in that historical background. That's why I can call that norm. This is a standard. So what is the word of God that is given to the people who lived in that historical background? Then how is that applied to me who is living in this area, in this age? So if you misinterpret this, then you will have a completely different misinterpretation. And this might not be necessary, but you also need to understand what kind of a category, what kind of a literature category is this. So for example, you know, Mark was written within the structure of novel. So even though I don't study, when I decide to, you know, when I decide to preach on a book, our doctors will bring at least like 10 different books that talks about that book. Then would I read all of them? No, I don't. I only read the subtitles or the titles of that book. Then I will know, you know, what's controversial in those books. So for example, when I preached on the book of Hebrews, the doctors brought me 15 different books. And I realized that, you know, the difficulty of interpretation of the Hebrews is how are you going to, you know, categorize the structure of the book of Hebrews. And after I read the Bible, you know, God inspires me what is being controversial in that subject. That's when I enter into the book to see what the scholar says. And that's how the truth system of Zuyuan Ministry has been established over 23 years. And of course, as I said, God gave me the structure 36 years ago already. When I talk about the structure, for example, what's the purpose of God giving us the book of Malachi? Because he wants to talk about the holiness of the servants. And then why did God give us Habakkuk? Because God wants to open our eyes to see how God rules over the ages and generations. Then why did God give us book of Mark? Because of Christology. And what is the core of Christology? The core of Christology is that he came among us just as a human being. And until he bears the cross, he should never expose his identity as the Son of God. So that's a messianic secret. When he reveals his identity as a Son of God, all the salvation would be blown away. He need to take away all the authority from the enemies, and that will also be taken away. And he must be the model of our life. And he said that you will do greater things than I, and that will also be blown away. So that's how important it was to hide his identity. So even though Mark is all about Christology, you need to see what's the core within that Christology. So the signs and miracles can never be the sign of Messiah. So before, people used to say Mark is all about miracles and signs. Then, if you perform signs and miracles, are you Messiah? If that is so, then I myself will be the Messiah. But signs of Messiah is not about signs and miracles. So that's just means. The purpose is Jesus himself. So the means can be activated, you know, just freely. Not only me, but also our church members freely uses spiritual gifts in our church. They minister freely because they are just means. Our only purpose is God alone. This is the essential qualification that you need to have in order for that book to be the truth. If you don't have that, you cannot interpret that book, you know, according to how God wants it to be interpreted. So that's why I'm telling you about these kind of things. So I'm telling you that the sermon that I'm preaching right now came from that kind of a historical background. So as I said, I didn't really study. And my doctors always say, you know, I don't think that Pastor Kim is studying that much, but how did he know this? They always say this. Oh, even though he doesn't study this, but how did he know this? Pastor Lee Soo-young says that the most often. I say these kind of things because I receive a lot of hurts from him. I spent millions of dollars for him, but he failed in his degree. Okay, so let's finish this. Let's finish this introduction at least. So, author is Malachi, and the word Malachi has the meaning of angel or messenger. So, you know, the Hebrew Bible, the title of the Hebrew Bible is My Messenger. Malachi, the ending yud has the meaning of mine. So the Septuagint says his messenger as well. So you barely have any information about Malachi. But AD 45, Jews excavated a book called Life of Prophets. And within that document, they talk a little bit about Malachi. And ever since he was very young, Malachi used to live a holy life. And almost all the prophets are ugly, but Malachi was a very good-looking man. So in order to be a prophet, you need to be ugly. Like, for example, like Pastor Imaksu of Zoom Ministry, he has a good quality to be a prophet. So people like me can never be a prophet. Just kidding. But actually, Malachi was a good-looking man. So when Malachi prophesied, angels came down to transcribe what he said. So actually, that is actually Ephesians 3:10 being already fulfilled in Old Testament. Church has the authority to rule over the creation. Even though the government is corrupting this land and defiling it, but it is not them who is ruling over Korean Peninsula. It is the Church of God that God entrusted his government to them. It is according to the proclamation of the church that Korea is being ruled by. Korea will be united with Israel. So that everyone who is agreeing to, you know, anti-gospel, anti-Christianity, anti-Israel, and who is pro-homosexualism will all get removed by God. They are persecuting holy servants of God. And a lot of these defiled informations are being sent in, but YouTube is blocking them. So, you know, you need to be awake and fight the spiritual battle. You need to continuously trample upon the spirit of Antichrist that is defending them. So as you receive God's glory through this conference, you will see great victory of God beginning from this place. So church has the authority to rule over all the systems of Babylon. There are some foolish pastors who talk like this. Why are churches being involved in the politics? We are not being involved in the politics. We are the ones who are ruling over the politics. Do you know what the British churches regret the most? They say, if we have been involved in the politics, then this country would have not been turned over to the Muslims. So look at the European countries right now. They are all being ruled by Muslims. So we have to also fight. We have to fight against Islam. We have to fight against all the systems of Antichrist that he is ruling over. But what is thankful is that Ephesians said that we have the authority, churches have authority to rule over all of them. And according to how we proclaimed, all the presidents have been elected. So now it's time for us to take down this government of Antichrist. So, you know, I don't care whether the government hates what I say or not. So let's continue. So according to Ephesians 3:10, just as it says, church, even lets know the angels about the revelation of God. How can the churches let know the angels about the revelation? Because angels don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. So all the decision that God makes in his headquarters is also being decided within me. That is why we are also called Holy of Holies of God. All the decision of God's headquarters is also being decided within me. That is why you are also the Holy of Holies. How tremendous it is. All the decision of God deciding the history of mankind, nation, and the people is also being decided within me. So what does Amos 3:7 says? God does not do anything without revealing his secret to his servant prophets. Amen. So God wants all of you who are sitting here to become servants like that. When you proclaim God's will exactly as he desires, then you will be the ambassadors of God's kingdom. And when these ambassadors speak, it means that government will move according to what he says. It is the kingdom of God that moves according to his servant. It's been 27 years since I've been ministering my church. And one thing that I feel revered again about the kingdom of God is that God rules over his church according to how I proclaim. That's how God transforms his church. How fearful is this? Although I spoke through trembling heart and reverence, you know, I always get surprised and I always get, feared by what God does to his church. So, you know, God keeps showing me how God is changing his church that he's ruling. How amazing. That's what the church is. So that's who Malachi was. And the reason why Malachi was able to unravel this tremendous revelation is because he was a holy person. So that is why we can talk about this holiness, which is the core of Malachi as well. So when was this written? Firstly, we need to remember that this book was given to that particular group of people who used to live in that time of the history. So you shouldn't, you know, pick out the topics of the Bible and, you know, use it in your sermon. So for example, you need to preach about the offering because you have to construct. If you continuously preach in that way, God will become your method and your means. So the relationship between God and us should be the relationship of the result and purpose. God has given His life to us. That's why we need to put our life to Him as well. And as you know, Hebrews 12:11, those who are sanctified and those who sanctify are from the same nature. So we are one with Christ, which is heis in Greek, which is echad in Hebrew. And I'll talk about that in chapter 3 as well. I'm delaying everything to the later. So, you know, I might delay them and not do it. So we are not sure when this was written exactly. But verse 8 says, verse 1 talks about the governor. So you may think that, and it also talks about the destruction of the Edomites. So when Edomites used to live was the Petra, the castle of Petra. Petra was destroyed by Nabataeans, and they were chased out to Arabia. And their name was changed into Edomites. And AD 150, they were destroyed by Rome completely. So as you look at the destruction of Edomites, you can tell that this book was written around that time period. And this is a very important element to interpret the book of Malachi. And Malachi also talks about the rebuilding of the temple. And in BC 516, the rebuilding of the temple takes place. And the prophets who used to be active during the time was Haggai and Zechariah. But he talks completely different from Haggai and Zechariah. So you can clearly tell that this was not written around BC 516. So who is the one who prophesied in the same context of Malachi? It was Nehemiah. He was active around BC 444. So you can say that Malachi was recorded between BC 460 to BC 454. And the scholars have, you know, studied this really well. You know, scholars have done a good job, you know, distinguishing when it was written. So, you know, please refer to them. So anyways, that's when Malachi was written, and you have to understand that Malachi was given to the people who lived in that period of time. So, you know, during that time, what kind of problem happened? They began to lose the joy of the rebuilding of the temple. And now they are losing this awareness of the urgency of the prophecies. So people began to doubt about the prophecy of the prophets. And there used to be a great famine that took place in Palestine. And leaders of that region should govern the people well, wisely, but instead they began to plunder from the people even more. That is why they brought the division between the husbands and the wives and the brothers. And the most important thing for the Israelites was the covenant that they had between God when they received during the Exodus. But they began to lose that. And who appeared? During that time, it was Malachi who appeared among the Israelites and said, God still loves you. And there was a national revival that took place. So that Israelites rose up, who used to be like a quenched fire. And you have that middle age, right? You know, middle age is between the days of slavery and the Lord's first coming. And that middle age was the dark time. But even during that time, there was a slight light that was coming in. It was all because of the prophets like Nehemiah, Malachi, Ezra, who awakened the people of Israel. So we are the same. In this generation, everything is entering into the darkness. When I go around the world, I can barely find any church that is still alive. What a tragedy. But still, God is raising His churches who are shining His light. Just like Isaiah 60. The church that proclaims a jubilee and vengeance against the enemy. When you look at the gospel books, Isaiah refers to Isaiah 60 and he proclaims the year of grace. But he doesn't proclaim the year of vengeance. Because his first coming was not about the vengeance, but in this end time. It is time for us to proclaim the vengeance against the enemies. Just as the Lord says, you have the authority to trample the scorpions and the serpents. You have the authority to control all the strength of the enemies. No one can harm you. That promise is being fulfilled to us. Just like Colossians 2:15, you have the authority to disarm the enemies. We are seeing the fulfillment of that prophecy. Just like 1 John 5:18, the evil ones, the wicked ones cannot touch you. How dare you touch us when we have the royal blood flowing in us? Amen. But among you, there are many of you who are being massaged by these evil spirits. I believe not. Okay, let's move on. So, the book that influenced Malachi the most is the Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. The language he uses is very similar. So Kavod, Mora, Ara, that all came from Deuteronomy. And he talks about Levites being the priest. And outside of Deuteronomy, none of the Pentateuch talks about that. But finally, in Deuteronomy, it talks about Levites being priests instead of people from Aaron's descendants. And I'll talk about that in chapter 3. And it talks about the tithings. So, you know, these came from the influence of Deuteronomy. Every time when there was a revival among the Israelites, Deuteronomy was always mentioned. Why? Even our Lord Jesus, in a book of John 12:49-50, he said, God's word is a commandment, and that commandment is life. So when the truth is proclaimed, when the gospel is proclaimed, then when you receive the gospel by faith, then that gospel will be truth for all church members. Truth is the only standard of our life. That's why we put our life for that truth. So if the church does not put their life on the truth, then it is not the church. Because fundamentally, church is a group of people who are consisted of the disciples. So, you know, if there's a new church member who comes into the church, he must become a disciple first. So that's why you don't say a church member. You instead call yourself disciples or the saints. Mark 1:34 says, in order to follow me, you have to carry the cross and deny yourself. That's what Jesus said. So how do you become a disciple? You should be able to die for the cross and the gospel. So that's why churches should be able to talk about the martyrdom. If the church does not talk about martyrdom, then it is very wrong. And the more you learn about who God is, that will be more natural. So for the early church members, it was very natural and normal for them to be martyred. They don't say that, what a great thing, what a great event. And Romans 10:10 says, those who call upon the name of Christ will be saved. What does it mean? So people, you know, were supposed to call Caesar as their Lord, but now they are calling Jesus as the Lord. It is obvious for them to be killed. So the moment you enter into the church, you should decide in your heart to be martyred. That's the season that we're living in. God is raising His glorious churches like that. People who can die for the Lord and for the gospel. You need to know that this should be natural and obvious. And, oh, you know, by this you can say that, oh, right truth is running in your church. That's why you can die for the truth. So that is why these language that is used in Deuteronomy is important. God, even Jesus said this is a commandment. Does that mean that you force yourself to follow these commandments, but instead, you put your life to this command? That's why it is life. So that is why Jesus exactly quoted from Deuteronomy 2. Paul uses the term commandment as well in the most of his letters. So when you have the truth, when you proclaim and preach, then you should not preach out of persuasion, out of like comforting, but the 99% of your preaching should be proclaiming God's standard. This is how you should live. Are you going to receive it or not? So that's why preaching is all about teaching people how to live and die. And I'm not talking about my own philosophy. That's what the gospel is. That's what the truth is. Truth is commandment. That's why church members, saints, should choose to live in that way. So can you preach about how to raise your children nicely or not? Can you preach about how to be successful in your life? How to be happy in your marriage life? So you should not be preaching about these kind of subjects. So, you know, church that is driven by the goals, those are filled with that kind of tendencies. They only think about how to, you know, please people's appetite in the church. But that's not what the truth is. Truth says, this is the standard, but because you are low down there, so you need to repent and come up here. It is very clear. Repentance must be substantialized in the church, and people should know that without repenting, I cannot live. So you are not dying because you are sinning, but because you are not repenting that you are dying. That's the truth. That's the commandment of the king. So as you add or subtract from that, you know, What a great danger. Truth is pure. It should not be mixed with anything. Jesus alone, only Jesus. Amen. Okay, now let's enter into the main text. Are you okay? So this is the first session, so you know, I believe that none of you will return back home. Now, this is why we pay for hotels. So if you feel uncomfortable about something, and if you have something, if you want something to eat, then ask Pastor Lee, and he will take care of your businesses. Don't ask Pastor Lee saying that, you know, I want some fried chicken after tonight's session, I'm so hungry. No. But instead, you know, have a good night's sleep. Let's look at verse 1. A prophecy, a word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. So not all the prophets use the term warning or a prophecy or an apocalypse. Habakkuk also uses the term warning. This term warning is massa in Hebrew, which means to carry the burden. So for us, the burden from our life, burden from our pastor ministry should not be given to us, but instead, we need to receive the burden of God's word. So who are the pastors? When it comes on Monday, they should carry the burden of the preaching that they should be preaching on the Sunday. So every day they should meditate upon God's word, receiving God's revelation, and they should live their life according to how they will be preaching. And on Sunday, they should be able to lay that down. So pastors should become the lightest when they finish the preaching. But on Monday, they have to carry the burden again, right? So for me, I'm going to Israel conference, right? So, you know, I am beginning to carry the burden for Israel conference. So my desire is to lay it down as soon as possible. So even though I'm not carrying the burden yet, but I have Dominican conference soon, and all Latin American people will come, and I have to bear the burden again. And when I go there, I get to lay it down. And I have conference in Richmond, United States, and I will carry the burden again. And I will lay it down. And I have Tanzania, Ethiopia conference in Africa. And I will carry another burden, and I will lay it down again. Same in Ethiopia conference. That's how I've been ministering over 27 years. So imagine how tough it is. So if you still have not experienced how heavy the burden of the truth is, it means that you have not received the right truth. And I'm preaching on Ecclesiastes in our church, so every Monday I carry the burden of Ecclesiastes. Oh, it's hevel, meaningless. So massa is the burden in Hebrew. And pastors should be able to carry the burden of the truth. And pastors should live the life before they lay it down before the saints. So through this process, that's how the word of God becomes alive to the people through this process. And the word of God is God's life because the blood of Christ is within it. So, you know, you should not be feeding the logos itself to the church members. And that logos must become rhema. And in order for that logos to become rhema, that truth must be alive. And people who makes God's word to become alive are the pastors. They need to put their own lives into that word. So after the sermon, many of our church members say like this. Oh, you know, I think Pastor Kim preached thinking about me. Why? Because I have put my life into my sermon after living out of it. That's the process of logos becoming rhema. So first, you should be able to carry the burden. You know that I'm not talking about the method of preaching. So you are not learning how to preach in Zoe ministry. Zoe ministry teaches you how to catch the fish instead of giving you the fish directly. So if you don't know the system of life, then it's a dangerous thing. Then it will turn the truth into information. And as you know, information will only become the standard of your judgment. So, you know, when truth becomes an information, you will kill people with it. Truth must be a life. It should never be an information. Let's go to verse 2. Is it interesting? Raise your hand if it's your first time attending our conference. Raise your hand, please. There are many of you. Wow. How unfortunate for you that you have never seen me before. Thank you. Thank you for, you know, joining us and being here with us. So, I don't know who brought you here, but, you know, I hope that we all treat them nicely. So, yeah. Please have a good time. Enjoy the meal. I didn't call you guys here in order to, you know, suggest you to join the Zoe ministry. But whether it is Zoe ministry or whatever. But I wish that you would have fellowship with the people who have God's truth in this end time. So don't try to hang out with those popular people. In that sense, I became too popular. But in this season, until now, God has been hiding His remnants. God has been covering them with His hand. But now, God is removing His hand from them. Because it is time for them to be exposed to revive people, to fight against the enemies. And because I know God's purpose, that's why I'm opening these conferences to Korean churches first. So actually, you know, personally speaking, I don't feel the necessity of doing these kind of things, but my wife is the one who always, you know, doing kind of things. So, you know, my wife is a prophet. But the apostles are very sophisticated. So, you know, normally they don't like doing these kind of things. But these prophets, they begin something first. You know. Even though I'm married to a great woman, but living with a prophet is not easy. So anyways, let's go to verse 2. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? So first debate is that God said, I have loved you, but they ask back, when did you love us? And you can see how corrupted people were during that season. When God says, I love you, you must feel emotional and feel inspirational. When I went to Swaziland, Africa, I was preaching on Malachi. I said, God loves you. There was this sister who was sitting in the front row who fainted, screaming. She literally fainted. So even if you don't like react like her, but when you hear that God loves you, you must have that emotion, inspiration in you, and you will even cry. In Doctrine of God, you must meet God as your Father first. Instead of meeting Him as Almighty God Elohim. So it is meaningful that God is Elohim when He is our Father. But, you know, what kind of meaning would it have when your next door neighbor is Elohim? So you need to first meet your Father God first. And people who have spiritual wounds toward their physical father cannot meet him like that. And according to Christology, you need to meet human Jesus first. How can you impart your sin to Jesus who is God? And it is possible that you can impart your sin to Jesus because he is a human. And there are many churches who have wrong Christology because they have been fooled by Vatican for 2,000 years. Because Vatican has exalted Jesus as a perfect God, and they said, hey, you have to pray through Mary, pray through the priest. That's why, you know, people say human Jesus is heretic. When you look at 1 John chapter 3, it says everyone who denies that Jesus has come in flesh is Antichrist. So who else is the heresy? People who do not agree on this is a heresy instead of me, right? So that's how important having the truth is. If you don't know Book of Hebrews, then what happens? Do you fail in your salvation? Even if you don't understand Book of Hebrews, you will receive salvation. Because salvation is Jesus meeting you in person to give you life. But ultimately, if you don't know Book of Hebrews, you will have an issue in sanctification and glorification. And if you don't know the sanctification and glorification, ultimately your spirit will have the crisis of failing the salvation. Because what is the purpose of God calling his people into his church? It is his predestination. And I'll talk about that in verse 2. So the term love that Malachi uses is ahav. And we also have the term hesed. Chesed can be interpreted as grace, love, and all different kind of things. So in New Testament, agape is the love, right? So you cannot necessarily say agape means exactly the same as chesed and ahav. So I'm not talking about theory, but I'm telling you what God's love is. Here in the Bible, and the term Trinity does not bring any benefit to our life. So what can you learn by saying Trinity? That's why we say the dynamics of Triune God. So the specific proposition. So to Jesus, they use the term Shin. So there is no term that says Shin God, God Father. So apostles had this dynamic relationship between different triune God, and they use different prepositions to each one of them. And when we meet Holy Spirit, when we meet the Father God, but this is very practical. So through Shin, they have met Jesus to say things like Hebrews 2:11. Those who are sanctified and those who sanctify are from the same nature. So everything that Jesus has done is also given to us. All the dignity is given to us as well. I am Son of God. He's the heir. I'm the heir. How tremendous. We receive the same dignity as he. There's only one difference. He is independent God, and I am dependent, reliant God. So if you have if you meet God in the right way, your dignity will soar high, but at the same time, you'll not be able to live without relying on Him. That's the right image of the people. You can never be proudful. You can never be arrogant in the church. You can never go before them. You need to rely on Him. That's what the truth is. Amen. So, you know, you can never be proudful. Never do that. Book of Enoch says, angels exalted Enoch like God. So God whipped Enoch with this fiery whip for 60 times. But, you know, that's how much God hates arrogance. But why do you become arrogant? If you meet God in the right way, then you will be humbled. You will even give up on your tendency of trying new things with your own strength. So if God does not begin anything, you cannot do anything. If God does not do anything, you cannot even think about doing anything. But as long as God is with you, poor, even if you meet persecution and tribulation, even if you have things through Christ who strengthens me, right? That's what Philippians 4:13 says, amen? So now we are done with love. So the reason why we cannot receive God's love is because we have met God in a wrong way. We need to first meet Him as a Father. And when He is pouring His love, the reason why we cannot receive it is because our channels are shut. And when God's love is confirms that love, and how is that love being confirmed by the Holy Spirit? By the love of Christ. And Romans says, nothing can cut me off from the love of Christ. I will be more than the conquerors. After you met me, you became very sophisticated. You know, you even understand the English that I say. Now, when I think about you, you know, I'm always thankful. You know, your body could not give birth to you. When I first met you, even now she's not that normal. But, you know, her body lacked a lot of moisture, a lot of, you know, a lot of water from her cells. But, you know, God activated her cells, you know, so that she was able to give birth to two sons. God's words are so magnificent. Now that she's so good at English too. Now that she's so humble as well. It's okay. We're done with love. So all of these are all about our beings. So you have to meet God in a right being. So what should you confirm? Whether you have met God in the right way or not. And the truth confirms that. So, you know, the channels of love, relationship between the Holy Spirit and the righteousness of Christ. When you have that right true system, then you will know immediately that God loves you. So when you say, oh, Father, you will receive some kind of a hot sensation coming into you, that warmth, which is not anointing. So Israelites should also feel that, but now they are questioning again, when did you love us? So imagine how disappointed would God be. So if you are not receiving God's love, you need to also know that there is a great problem that is happening in your faith life. For example, in Colossians 1:13, we have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son of Love. So it means that until now we used to live in the darkness, but now we are living in His Son's kingdom. Now you cannot move back again because there is a great pit between two. That's the pit that appeared in the story parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And, you know, Abraham told that rich man, you know, I cannot, you know, cross that pit because, you know, it is too deep. So Jesus became our head. And by what does He rule His church? By His love. So if you don't understand His love, you will fail being ruled by God. So love must be taken care of. You need to find the reason why. Is it because of my spiritual wound? Is it because of my physical bindings? Am I ignoring the Holy Spirit? Am I not being able to confirm Jesus' righteousness? When you solve that, then you will be able to receive God's love. So, would there be any problem for God's love to flow in you or not? The love of God itself does not have any problem. Even now, God is pouring His love tremendously upon you. But some of you receive it 100%, some of you receive 1,000%, some of you only receive 50%. And the reason is because of those kind of things. So you should receive them completely, opening your spirit wide. And when your spirit's wide open, then you will receive His love according to the portion that He gives. And the moment you receive His love, your characters will be changed. For example, you may say, you know, I'm normally depressed, but God never used the depression as He made you. So, you know, love has that kind of power. Love has the power to restore everything back to God's creation. Oh, I'm originally stupid. No, God never used stupidity when God created you. And when God loves you and when you receive that love of God, you will have the wisdom of God. That's the power of love. And I ministered a person before, right? He was raped by his uncle over 10 years. And the only hope for the sister was to kill her uncle when he grows old. That was the only hope that she had. So imagine how tragic her life used to be. But she met God. And she was able to forgive her uncle. And she was able to evangelize the whole family members. So how amazing the power of God's love is. And Apostle John saw all the glory of the kingdom of God, but when God's love covered all that glory, he could not help himself but to confess that God is love. So not being able to receive God's love, how tragic is it? But these Israelites are questioning, when did you love us? Do you curse? Do you also curse in Chinese? So okay, anyways, this is important here. So God is giving the evidence that He loves them. And He says, I, the Lord, says, declares the Lord, was not Esau Jacob's brother? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated, and I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. So Esau is the older brother, so he should have the privilege of the firstborn. But it was Jacob who had that authority of the firstborn. So the term love is incomplete tense. And what God is saying here is that he is keep confirming his love to Jacob. And when he said, I hated Esau, he wrote it in the complete tense. So this is where we need to talk about predestination and election. And the term Bachar in Old Testament is to choose. And this is what Pastor John wrote for his thesis about the predestination and election. And the Bachar in Old Testament, whether it is Old Testament or the New Testament, the term predestination and election has never, they have never been used to describe about the decision of person's salvation and cancellation of their salvation. Especially in the Old Testament, the predestination election talks about the dignity of his calling. So Jacob was called to become the firstborn. And Esau should be able to acknowledge that. But because he was not able to acknowledge that, that's why he was cursed. And we'll talk about that later. So when you move to the New Testament, when God met you, he gave you the salvation. He made the history, he made you the event of salvation when he met you, right? And you never know why he met you and why he saved you. So that's why we call it grace. He doesn't say, you know, because you're excellent, I met you. Because you're smart, because you have a lot of money. No. You never know why God met you and gave you the salvation. So, you know, we call the event of salvation in many ways. In John 3:5, it says, it came from the above, anothen. So it came from the above. All the grace of God's salvation came from the above. It means it came outside of, it came from the outside of the universe. The moment you receive the salvation, you receive the eternal life. And what, where did that life come from? It came from outside of the universe. So when you receive the salvation, it means that nothing in this universe can dare to touch my eternal life. So for example, I have received God's life. But when I say, oh, because of this money, my life is miserable. Because of this money, my life is failing. Then the life that you receive is a fake. Of course, you may worry and concern for a moment. But ultimately, those who have life of God should never despair before God because of the things that exist within this universe. Because this life came from the outside of the universe. So can demons transcend the universe or not? No. Can Hinduism transcend from the universe? No. Deism from the 18th century. Can it transcend from the universe? Theoretically, it can. But the qualification of the Creator God is to transcend the universe and to be able to come into the history. But deism cannot come into the universe. Deism talks about the God who sits in his throne and observes us without doing anything. So he doesn't have the qualification to be the Creator God. Allah. Think about the Allah. What is Allah? Allah is a piece of crap. Allah doesn't have soteriology. That's why these leaders can say, you know, hey, when you step on that war mine and when you die out of it, you will end up in heaven. So, you know, these Muslims can do anything to be saved. So, you know, they are just a piece of crap. So God, our God, is the only one who can be called as Creator God. So you should be thankful for God has met you. God above all gods. He loves you with this indescribable, incomparable love. So let's move on. So this term predestination moves into the New Testament. And I said that it is all about the calling of your mission, you know, calling to be the firstborn. That's how it is used in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the predestination is calling of Jesus Christ. So where did our salvation come from? Jesus called you. And what else should we receive? We need to receive God's decision. That is also Bahar. So when you look at Matthew 22:14, the king opens a banquet and he invites everybody. But there are people who came without a proper dress code. And he was chased out. And Jesus said they will be gnashing their teeth in the darkness. And that does not mean that they are going to hell, because they have answered to God's calling. And he also said there are many who are called, but there are few who are chosen. So, you know, that chosen can be mixed with this term predestination. So what is this predestination? It means that you are saved and you are called by God. Then the child of God should fulfill his predestination. So within the Bible, the calling itself is the satisfaction of everything. Hey, you are called, so, you know, no matter what you do, it doesn't matter. Bible does not say that that's the salvation. So people who are called will always fulfill the predestination. That is God's decision. Ephesians 1:4 says that. So Revelation 17:15 says, it describes about the remnants in this way. Those who are sincere to their calling and to their election. So, you know, being sincere to your calling means that because God has chosen you, you know, everything else does not really matter. That's the lifestyle of those who are chosen. You cannot have any other thing. Amen? That's how you are being made holy and blameless. And when you understand God's love according to His calling, it is impossible for you to love other things. So you may say, love of God is similar to the love of my Father. Then that's not love of God. Love of God is a holy love. We'll talk about the holiness too. What is the holy love? Holy love is echad, the only love which can only be given by God. So when you receive this love, you will know that this is given by God. When you receive God's wisdom, you will know the power, authority, they are the same. They are all holy because they are separated. They are distinguished. So when you receive God's holiness, you will not, you know, necessarily have that emotional sensation. But when you receive holiness, then existentially, you will realize that you are not the same person that you used to be before. And when I met God 37 years ago, God's holiness came right in. And I experienced that it is impossible for me to receive God's holiness by who I used to be. So, you know, all the holes of my body opened up. And before I met God, I used to smoke 2 packs a day. I used to drink limitlessly. But all those nicotines began to leak from my body. And I'm the one who stumbled before God because of the term that I'm His temple. You know, from that moment, I cried and, you know, all the fluids came out from my body. And, you know, God is very, God, because God respected me, He didn't make me to, you know, spill the feces. But anyways, but that's what happens when holiness comes to you. Of course, my experience is not absolute, but if you receive God's holiness in the right way, then you will experience the poisons of Babylon, you know, being disappeared from you. And through these normal, ordinary, ethical life, you cannot solve the strength that has been accumulated by Cain over 6,000 years. But when God's holiness comes in, those will begin to disappear, and you will realize that you are not the same as before. So we are now talking about the predestination election. So children of God must receive the calling of Jesus and know that God has decided our election. So the reason why you must be the church of God is because the predestination is an election is chosen by God. So you must receive it through the church of God. And those who have been chosen those who have been called are perfected by God. So the glorification is the purpose of God. Romans said that. So, you know, God's decision is to make those holy who He has called. That's the salvation that the Bible talks about. So don't be scammed. That's what Vatican used to do. So you think that, you know, even if your life is poor, as long as you go to heaven, it's okay. So, you know, all the goals of your life ends up, you know, going to heaven. And Bible never talks about going to the kingdom of God. You know, kingdom of God is something that comes to us. So Vatican scammed us, making us to think that, you know, as long as you don't go to hell, it's okay. But Bible doesn't talk about heaven and hell. It talks about the issue of God's glory. And it talks about how glorious children of God are. And that glory is given to you. That holiness is given to you. God alone can, you know, possess that, but He gave you His holiness. He gave you His glory. So that you can use my glory as well. Ask whatever you want in my name. I will answer to you. Answer in my name. I will do it. Answer. Ask whatever you want. I will give everything. Believe what you have asked in faith to receive. And you will not doubt in those things. Because you have experienced God's glory. Because you have received God's dignity. Hallelujah. So imagine the church being moved by these saints who believe in that holiness, and how glorious would the church be? You know that I'm not talking about a specific experience some churches have. So, you know, these Chinese churches began praying and interceding for 24 hours. And Korean churches tried so hard to raise churches in China, but, you know, there was no church. But finally, the ministry churches are rising up. How tremendous is this? Our team just came back from China, and they experienced the same anointing flowing within them, just like us. And, you know, you will see these people ruling over China at this end time. So I prophesied to this brother, you will be trained in our church, and when time is right, you will go to China and become a prime minister. I prophesied to him, you will be the prime minister. And don't forget about me when you go there, okay? And he has the quality. He is good at English, he's good at Korean, he's good at Chinese. He's really smart. I will make him study about the politics soon. I'm not telling him to learn something, but I want him to study about the communism and to discover how wicked that is. So within about next 20 years, he will become the prime minister. So, you know, don't ignore me when you become a prime minister. So if you want to know deeper about the predestination election, ask Pastor John and, you know, get the resources from him. And I believe my sermon would be enough. But, you know. So let me say it again. Predestination and election was never used in the Bible to describe about the fate of salvation or not. This is the decision of Jesus. We are decided to be holy and blameless. So all the church members should have this confirmation of salvation. So, you know, this issue of salvation should not be blurry in the church. You should be able to say that even if that person dies today, he will go before God gloriously. That's why soteriology of the ministry is so important. But if there is a person that you might think that, oh, I don't know whether he will go to heaven or hell when he dies, if he dies today. And when he opens his eye today, you know, when he dies, and when he opens up in a dark place, then he would say, oh, you know, this is wrong. But, you know, Bible never talks about that. Even if you die today, you should be able to go before God gloriously. That's the soteriology. And, you know, there was never once that our church members cried and lamented in a funeral in our church. All our church members sang gloriously in the funeral all together. We will see again, we will see again. Because we already knew, you know, how this church member ended his or her life. So why did God hate Esau? And you can understand that he has lost his identity as the firstborn. But verse 3 says, I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. So Edomites God destroyed Edomites around Petra because Esau did something wrong. And you can see the reason. You can see the reason in verse 4. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. So God continuously destroyed the lands of Edomites. Then they should receive God's will and become humble. But they strive to rebuild their ruins. Why did God demolish that land? Because that was the path of gospel to flow. So Edomites should not remain there. So, you know, God tried to take out the strength of Edomites. And when God tries to take your strength away, then you should allow him to do that. When God makes you to become poor, then you should become poor. And when you strive to not to be poor, so, you know, pastors, look. When you begin your ministry, Church of God itself has no problem in money, people, wisdom, knowledge. Churches of God should be provided by God in every way. And the book of Ephesians talks about that as abundance of glory. All the abundance is present in God's church. But even though they call themselves Church of God, they have so many problems, including the problems of money. They are afraid of receiving those bills monthly bills. And why do they have that problem? Because they have the problems because they are not Church of God. Secondly, why do you see the problems? Because pastor himself does not have a full trust toward God's faithfulness. The issue of the church is not about how many church members are you going to gather, but the pastor himself must confirm God's glory within him. So until that pastor confirms that glory within him, God will always test his servant. You can never be raised as God's servant randomly. So when I first met God, my father was really, really wealthy. But all of a sudden, he became broke completely. So, you know, I had a hard time when I was studying in the United States. You know, when I was studying in the U.S., I didn't even study. You know, I was driving on a nice car. When I was 20, I was able to drive a Porsche. During the time, you know, I was really fit. You know, I was playing the song, I Need a Hero, driving, you know, on a highway. Anyways. But look, what I'm trying to say here is that when I began my faith life, you know, before I met God, I used to have like 5 or 6 maids in our house. But my mom all of a sudden became a maid of another house. But I couldn't do anything about it. So I prayed to God, you know, God, you gave me these tremendous visions. And, you know, I was depressed. So, you know, I was thinking to myself, you know, I will give up on all of them and I will be a taxi driver. And with the driver's license that I brought from the United States, you know, Korean government only issued me, you know, a rank B driver license. But, you know, I took a driver's test in order to reissue the driver's license with grade A. And what is surprising is that even though I used to drive a Formula One cars in the United States, I failed that driver's test for 7 times. If I have passed that driver's license, then I have been driving a taxi somewhere in Seoul right now. But it was God who stopped me from doing that. And during that time, I realized one thing. Oh, you know, it is God who allows everything, who enables everything. It is God who makes me poor. And then after I passed that test, and during the time, I used to say to my wife, hey, you know, because we don't have money to spend outside, let us go home and eat some meat. The only thing that I lacked was just money. And I was able to empty myself completely. And ever since then, I was never struggled again by the materials. So when God empties you, you need to be emptied completely. Instead of striving to solve that issue by your own strength and effort, you should die to your own possibilities. Just like 1 Kings says, 1 Kings 18 says, Elijah was, you know, fighting against the prophets of Baal and Asherah. But instead of, you know, doing something else, he poured the waters upon the altar. And you're supposed to make the altar dry in order for that altar to be burnt. But because he wanted his possibility to die, he poured the water. But after he saw a tremendous miracle, he went back up to Mount Carmel to humbly bow down before God. So think about this. How is this possible? After seeing that great miracle, last time when we went to Latin America, God showed us tremendous miracles. So when you show those signs and miracles, without even knowing, your ego somehow floats up. But Elijah emptied himself completely. That's why he was able to, you know, go up to the mountain, Mount Carmel again. And that's what the servants of God should do. And Edomites should do that as well. But instead, they maximize their own strength. They try to solve something through their own strength. That's why God hated them. So that they would become the path of gospel. And I forgot to say something, you know, within the predestination election. And there is free will. And free will is something that I will talk about later. Okay? Because we have to pray. So, okay, let's finish the sermon here. Verse 5. You will see it with your own eyes. Who are you here? You here is referring to the Jews instead of Edomites. Because you will see that later. What will these Jews see? They will see that great is the Lord outside of the border of Israel. So now that Israelites have belittled God, they should be saying that, oh Lord, you loved us so much, how thankful. But instead they said, how did you love us? But God said, look at Edomites, they are destroyed completely. And look at you are still alive. But why are you keep denying on my love? So normally when God tells you that He loves you, then you should have this trembling heart. So when I was ministering in Singapore back then, there was this sister who had witnessed her husband committing adultery. So she received a remedies that she could only crawl on the ground. She couldn't walk. She was crawling on the ground like a spider. I believe that some of you were there personally, right? Right? Some of you were there personally. And there was this sister who was like that. So she crawled up on the stage, but my experience was activated. But I delayed relying on my experience. So instead of delivering out the evil spirit, but God told me to whisper next to her ears, my daughter, I love you. But the moment she heard that, she began to cry out loud. And all her bindings began to get loosened, and she began to jump up on the stage. I only said one word, one sentence. So, you know, in that case, that's how God worked. And I could have delivered out the evil spirits upon her and, you know, bring the healing ministry upon her, but God told me to whisper next to her that He loves her. And with that one sentence of love, you know, that's how tremendous God's love is. But Israel says, when did you love us? Instead of your love, we need money more. That's what they are saying. And what they are saying is that, oh, you know, we are sick of your love stories. You know, that's what God tells us the most, right? So I think it is same for me. Within all the times of my difficulties, God came to me and said, my son, I love you. And when I'm good, then, you know, I would always be happy again, and I'm expecting God to, you know, bring money to me. But when my spirit is struggling, I would say back to the Lord, you know, I know that you love me, but is there something else that you can give me too? But God's love is sufficient, right? When God's love is being poured, when the love of Christ is being poured, Holy Spirit will confirm it. And I have decided to make you holy and blameless. So predestination and election is all about God's love too. Because God is God of love, He wants to give you the best all the time. So meeting God in holy and blameless status is such a normal thing. And nothing else besides that is written in the Bible. Bible does not say, oh, even if you have committed, you know, sins all your life, it's okay because you have received salvation, your life is okay. you know, I used to sing that song, you know, every single time, you know, when I used to go to Prayer Mountains back then, back in the history. But it is not that you have received the salvation just because you have purchased a ticket. Okay, let's finish here. So, you know, we are at 11:40 right now, but don't go back to your room quickly. You know, spend your time praying for maybe at least for 10 minutes. Especially, even now, you need to experience how God's love is being poured within you. All your burdens that you have. So look, if you don't live by the Holy Spirit, you need to know that everything will become the burden. Raising the children, you know, doing the pastor ministry, and having the relationship between the church members, they will all become burdens. And because of those burdens, you can never be light to go before the throne of grace. And when I normally meet with God, the evidence of meeting with God is being light. You need to be light as feather. When you become light, it will be easy for you to go before His throne of grace. Because you are going before the throne of grace, that is why all the promises that God gave to you is being manifested in your life. Hebrews 7:25. When you go before God, God's righteousness immediately come next to you. So God's righteousness is that through all the payment of Jesus, I have the qualification to meet Him no matter what. And at least you should maintain the status of righteousness. And the characteristic of the righteousness that you can repent. When you see a lady who is pretty, then you repent for the immorality and unbelief that you have and all those things. And as long as you maintain that righteousness, Holy Spirit will continue to make you to repent. Just like Romans 8:26 and 27 says, Holy Spirit will cry this voiceless cries in you to make you to recognize your sin. As your blood circulates to exchange the oxygen and carbon dioxide, the blood of Christ should flow within us. And when the Holy of Holies opens up, the power of the blood should flow in, flow outside to the temple, to the tabernacle. And Holy Spirit said that He will lead us from the glory to glory. That's how we have the same structure as the tabernacle. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says clearly, Holy Spirit is leading us from glory to glory so that we will be created into His image. And 1 Corinthians 4:4 says, the glory changes you into God's image. And that's what is being activated within you. That is life. And that is why God is keep bringing those things out of you. And when you have that righteousness, Holy Spirit is the one who leads your prayer. It is not me who is praying. That is why we call the Holy Spirit the counselor. So where is a counselor leads us? He leads us before the throne of God's grace. And who is waiting for us before that throne of grace? Hebrews 7:25 and Romans 8:35, they say the same thing. It is our Lord Jesus who is waiting for us to introduce us to the Lord, to God. So when we go before throne of grace, Jesus will hold our hands and say, my father, he is my brother. I shed my blood for this brother. Just like Joseph introducing his brothers to Pharaoh. This is what is happening spiritually when you pray. This is the mechanism. That is why God told us to ask whatever we want. Holy Spirit, who is our counselor, He brings us. who brings us before the throne of grace, and Jesus, who is the strongest and most powerful lawyer that defends our prayer. So wouldn't God answer to our prayer or not? So when your spirit is light, this is the glory of God that moves before God's throne. So when you remain for a long time before God's throne, and God's throne is not about lack of time. God's kingdom also has time. But, you know, even if you have visited that throne of grace for a second, you may feel like you have spent for like 5 hours. And before the throne, you will be able to take off all the limitation of your flesh. So you should be able to have that experience of your prayer. But until now, you have carried too much of a burden. So you should not continue to live like that. Do not put your life in your ministry. Put your life in God. Church is where God reigns. It is not me who is ruling the church. I am not the CEO. Do you believe this? Within my heart, I feel like God is somehow angry at you. At the same time, He is very pitiful for you. Because in Romans 8:12, God said that I have paid all the price of the flesh. But why are you keep carrying that burden of flesh upon your shoulders? You are not living out of your duty anymore. You are not preaching because you are pastors. You are not earning money because you are fathers. No, that is not how you live. There is no burden of flesh anymore. You are now living for glory. You are preaching because of glory. You are ministering because of glory. You are earning money because of glory. But there's no lay member here. But anyways, you're living out of God's glory. Amen. So let's pray tonight. Lord, pour down. Lord, you have never given your glory to anyone else in this universe, even to the angels. You have never given your holiness. But Lord, you have given your holiness and your glory to these servants. And all the glory of the holiness within the church is decided by these servants. So Lord, through this conference, Lord, let them enter into a tremendous glory through Malachi. Lord, in this first session, let these servants lay down their fleshly burdens. Lay them down. Let them become light as feather. Let your tremendous love, Lord, let your tremendous love come and fill them. I love you. My beloved servants, trust me, believe me. I love you. I love you. Lord, come down more powerfully. Lord, let this be the conference that revolutionized all my life. Lord, from tomorrow, Lord, heal your servants, loosen them, and allow powerful deliverance. Help us to enter into your glory more seriously.